ChristianityTrinity.com.
2 weeks ago, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and that was talking about the return of Jesus and how that day, for those who are believers, will be an incredible one, right? Hashtag loudest day ever. With a cry of command from the Lord, a sound of the trumpet of God, and the voice of an archangel, this is going to take place. Jesus will return, right? The dead in Christ will rise, then those who are alive will be changed in an instant, like our perishable bodies will become imperishable ones that can last in eternity, and we'll all be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 5, talked about the day of the Lord, right? That is going to be a time of tribulation for those who go through it, a period of time when God pours out his wrath on sin and wickedness, idol worship and unbelief. It'll be a time of tribulation that, according to Jesus, that's unlike any other that has taken place in history. And it's going to catch people off guard, even though they should have seen the signs and the warnings. Like Jesus said, it'll be just like in the days of Noah, where people kind of went on with their life. They did their thing despite the warnings, despite the threat of their impending doom. However, Paul says that for us, the day of the Lord should not surprise us, those who belong to Jesus. We know the truth. We have the light, and we know it's coming. So last week's message on the day of the Lord was a little bit intense, a little bit heavy, and after the worship gathering, I walked up and talked to Dave Chapin, and he was like, good preaching, thanks for sharing all that. I'm like, thanks, you're welcome, and I'm like, that was pretty heavy though, so we'll see who all comes back next week. So thank you all for coming back next week. Appreciate that. But look, this morning, this is some interesting topics, but this morning we're going to kind of finish up with a final part in this, I guess, end times-like segment in this book. So we're going to focus on 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 11, and we'll get to those verses specifically. But in order to do that, I just want us to get a running start into those verses. So we're going to back up to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. We'll start there and then read through. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles or on your Bible app, or that's great. So here we go, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And then here's the part we'll focus on today. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. All right, so this section is the one about being awake and sober. The one about being awake and sober, which comes right out of verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And verse 7 right after it, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Now, Paul's main point here in talking about the day of the Lord or the end times event was so that we realize we need to keep awake and be sober. Like, God wants us to wake up, right? That's what he wants. Or at least to stay awake, to be awake. The word here, Gregorio, is to be awake or to watch. It literally means to stay awake, but figuratively means to be vigilant, right? To be responsible and to be watchful. Okay, so look, when you're sleeping, you're going to miss out on anything that's taking place around you, right? Unless it startles you and wakes you up. Sherry and I often fall asleep watching TV shows at night, probably because we stay up way too late for the old people that we're becoming. That's just a reality. But I can't tell you how many times we've maybe started a show and one of us or both of us have fallen asleep. And then usually, like, we'll wake up right at the end. So we know how it started, and then we know how it ended, but we kind of missed, like, everything in between, right? But God doesn't want us to sleepwalk through life like that. He doesn't want us to miss out on everything in between, everything that's going on. He doesn't want us to miss everything between now and when we get to be with him. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be watchful. He wants us to stay awake. He also wants us to stay sober. Look, when you're drunk, you're impaired, right? You can't react or respond like you should. You shouldn't spend life drunk, literally. And actually, Scripture says not to be drunk, which means like at all or ever. Okay, now technically, someone could argue a loophole in that verse that talks about not being drunk because it says not being drunk on wine. So, loophole, what if it's not wine? Then you're missing the point. Then you might have a bigger problem, right? But don't be drunk is what he's saying, right? Talking about literally there, but you also shouldn't be spending life being drunk figuratively. Like the word for drunk here implies being free from impairment or without illusion or being deceived, right? So we need to be in our right mind and clear-headed and alert and on guard and prepared and ready for action. None of which you can do when you're spiritually asleep or spiritually drunk, spiritually impaired. So the question is, how do we stay awake and sober in a spiritual sense like Paul's talking about here? Right? How do you stay awake and sober in a spiritual sense? Well, verse 8 kind of addresses that. Paul says, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Okay, read that one more time. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So back in chapter 1, you probably remember, you may remember, Paul commended the Thessalonians for their work of faith and their labor of love and their steadfastness of hope. He talked about faith, hope, and love back then, and now he brings it up again. When it comes to being awake and sober, these are things that are important, faith, hope, and love. And it's interesting how he kind of pieces them together because he says the first thing that we need to do is put on the breastplate of faith. It's like we need to protect our heart. And of course, by heart, we mean our innermost being. That's the idea of Scripture. It's not the physical heart. It's our inmost being, the core of who we are. That's what we need to protect. Because that's where faith and love are supposed to flow from and come from. So you think about faith, we can only follow Jesus by faith. Right? Faith is trusting him in everything, in every area of our life. It's choosing to obey his word and do whatever it is he says. But to do that, we have to have a heart that's full of faith. Or when you think of love, we're supposed to live with love. Jesus said the greatest commands in Scripture were to love God and to love others. Right? It's about love. We're supposed to love deeply, just like God loves us. We're supposed to love like Jesus did. But to do that, we have to have a heart that's full of love. So our hearts, our inmost being, should be filled with both of those things, faith and love. However, as we probably know, like our hearts are so vulnerable. So they need to be protected at all costs. Right? Our physical heart is kind of critical to functioning as a human being. Right? We can't really live without one, but the same is true spiritually. Right? In a world where our hearts, our inmost being is constantly under attack, it's tough to keep our hearts from being affected by the world. Right? And that's why Paul says, put on the breastplate so we can protect our hearts. So our first big idea for this morning is protect your heart. Protect your heart, put on the breastplate of faith and love. That means being selective about what we allow in and what we allow to dwell there. I think that's why Paul and Peter both wrote about these things. They wrote that we should rid ourselves of things like malice and envy and deceit and slander and bitterness and anger and so on. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right? We have to be careful that things which are impure, immoral, untrue, and ungodly are not allowed to penetrate and lead us away from Jesus. So protect your heart. Right? Put on the breastplate of faith and love. And we've been kind of asking questions each week, and I'm going to give you questions kind of in the middle instead of at the end of the message today, but here are some questions that I would ask you to consider and pray about this week. The two questions in the regards to protecting our heart are, what are the things that you are doing to protect your heart? Like, are there any certain boundaries or safeguards that you've put in place? Are there any things along that line that you've put in place to be sure that you're protecting your heart, keeping it full of faith and love, and not allowing the things that don't belong there to enter in, but only allowing what God wants us to let penetrate happen? Okay? So the second area then that he talks about hope. And we have to remember that we have an incredible hope, this eternity with Jesus. Right? This world is not our home. It's only temporary. And what waits for us is more incredible than we could even imagine. And that's kind of summed up in this, that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, that's easy. Well, it's easy, first of all, to take for granted. But it's also easy to forget. And we need to remember that, though. And I think that's where the next part comes in. The second big idea is be mindful of your salvation. Be mindful of your salvation. Put on the helmet of hope. Right? Like, if you think about it, when you put on, let's say, a baseball cap, it often has a logo on it, right? Maybe a hat that you wear represents a favorite sports team, a Packers hat, a Bears hat, a Cleveland Browns hat, something like that. Maybe it's not about the sports team, but maybe it's the school you attend, right? The school that you went to. Whether it's high school, Oshkosh North, Oshkosh West, Valley Christian School, Winnicott, you know, so on. Or maybe the college that you attended or your kids attended. Now, sometimes it's just a name brand, right? Like it's the Nike hat or the Under Armour hat, something that you happen to care about. I realize not everyone gives that much thought to the hat that they put on all the time. Maybe they just like it because it looks cool, right? I like the colors. But when you put it on, it does send a message to people around you. Right? It says something about what you like, what you believe, who you're cheering for, who you're rooting for. But the thing is they're not the only ones that see that logo. So do you. Right? Every time you put it on, if you're paying attention, you're going to see that logo. You're going to see it. And when you do, it will remind you of that thing too. It will remind you of that thing too. When we put on the helmet of salvation, it too is that we need to be reminded of the truth that we have come to know and believe. Right? Be mindful of your salvation. Put on the helmet of hope. So two questions in regards to this one. First, how are you reminding yourself of your salvation? Like, what are you doing to remind yourself of that? If you want to live in that reality, if we want to live from that place, remembering we have been saved by Jesus Christ, it has to be on the forefront of our mind. So what things are we doing to remind ourselves of our salvation? Or second part of the question, what practices are keeping you mindful of Jesus? Right? What practices in your life are keeping you mindful of Jesus? Are you doing enough to ensure that He is the top priority in your life? Right? So those are some questions I hope that you'll pray and ponder about this week in regards to protecting our heart and being mindful of our salvation. Let's work our way through the rest of the passage. As we're wrapping up kind of this segment, Paul has talked about this glorious and amazing return of Jesus, right? The rapture. He talked about the dreadful day of the Lord, the tribulation. He tells us to protect our hearts, be mindful of our salvation. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Now, kind of the back to the big picture of these end times things, most scholars believe that Jesus' return or the rapture will occur before the day of the Lord, before this tribulation takes place on earth, partly because that's the order of things that are talked about here in 1 Thessalonians, but also because of what Paul says here. As believers, we are not destined for wrath, but for salvation. Right, and back in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, he said that we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That verse 2 suggests that we're waiting for Jesus to return, because before God pours out his wrath and his wickedness on the things of this world, Jesus takes us out of here first. Right? So most scholars believe this to be true. Most scholars would say, look, things are going to go down this way. Jesus will return. Those who died in Christ will be resurrected. Those who are still alive will be changed. The perishable bodies become imperishable ones. They will last for eternity. Together we'll be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. And then this great tribulation will take place and the end will come. Right? That is the pre-tribulation view of these end times things. And again, it sure seems like most scriptural references kind of point to this idea. I mean, if I had to put money down on it, based on what scripture has to say, this is where I'd slap it down, right? I think it's most likely. But it's not the only view. Some think that Jesus will gather his people to himself in the middle of that tribulation, like before things get really bad. That's the mid-trib view. And others would argue that it's after all of this that takes place that we go to be with the Lord. Right? All of it seemingly like, wow, this is incredible stuff. But these are three views. And I've heard people say this, it's probably best that we pray for pre-trib so that we'll miss all the bad stuff. But we might want to prepare for post-trib, right? So we're ready for anything. So it might be a good approach. But I think, look, however things unfold, I think there's something very practical that we're supposed to see here. Like practically, we will still face hardships in our life. we're going to face difficulties. We're going to face persecution specifically because of our faith. It will happen. That's not going to change until our life comes to an end or until Christ returns. Right? Aside from the trials, it doesn't, you know, the intensity of the trials, does it really matter whether it's a normal tribulation or an end times tribulation? Tribulation is inevitable. Right? Jesus said so. He said, look, I've said these things to you so that you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. And yet take heart, because I've overcome the world. Right? In this world we're going to have troubles because we're following Jesus. And Jesus himself said that would be the case. He also said the world was going to hate us because they hated him first. Right? So these things are going to happen. We should expect that. But remember that Jesus wins in the end. Right? So we have nothing to fear in that sense. And it's in that same spirit that Paul says for a second time in this letter to take courage. To take courage. Verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So look, what, regardless of what comes our way, we need to live as children of the light. We need to keep awake and be sober. Protect your heart. Be mindful of your salvation. Because though we'll go through trials and tribulations as long as we're alive here on this earth, we are ultimately not destined for God's wrath. We're headed for heaven. We're headed for heaven. So we need to allow that reality to be an encouragement to us in everything we face. As we close our time this morning with a few more songs of worship, that's a bit of the focus in this time. But I would ask, would you pray with me as we head into this time that we sing and worship the Lord? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are a God who cares so much about us and longs for each one of us to come to a place of faith, to come to a place of belief, to put our trust and our hope in you. And that as we do so, we have confidence and certainty that we are not going to face your wrath. But we're your children. We're children of light. Children who've come to the truth. And it's your love for us that is going to, and that has carried us to that place. We're so grateful. And God, in every circumstance, in every trial we face, in every difficulty that comes our way, help us to take courage in that. And in the meantime, for us to put on that breastplate of faith and love to protect our hearts so that they remain devoted to you and seeking after you, so that they would be filled with faith and love. And that we would also be mindful of our salvation, that incredible gift that you have extended to anyone who would believe and that we have come to receive. We're so thankful. But help us to remember these things and to do what we must to be in a place where we are clinging to you no matter what we face. We lift this all before you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.